And we are live.
Blog Talk Radio.
All we can do is tell God, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord, for giving us another opportunity to praise you, another opportunity to wake up in the morning and just say, my daddy God is awesome. He is wonderful. He is great, and he is greatly to be praised. What a mighty God we serve. And our word for this morning is, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. He who endures to the end shall be saved. And every time I read that word, Mother Valerie, can you hear me clearly, ma'am?
I can.
When I hear that word, I always think about how God is so good and how much he loves us. And I think about the bride. The prepared bride and the unprepared bride. The brides that have their extra oil and the ones that don't. You know, because when the bridegroom came, they had endured to the end. They didn't have to go get any extra oil. They was ready. And we want to be ready, Mother. As you say, we want to be ready for our rapture jump. We want to be ready to do what God has called us to do. We want to have our everything in order. And when I was reading the word this morning, I thought about, you know, and the word it tells us, don't go over there. Remember, we talked about that when we were in the book of Matthew, where Jesus said, you know, don't go there. And, you know, we're going to read that again today. He says, you know, you're going to hear wars, rumors of wars. But then he said, but watch out for yourself, for they will deliver you up to council, and you will be beaten in the synagogue. You know, and we think about it today, Mother. Folks were killed in a church. 9 people murdered in a church because somebody didn't like the way they looked. And that's after staying for Bible study. Come on now. Stay for Bible study. Stay for Bible study. Went out to his car, got his guns, and killed everybody. The one person. 9 people murdered because of hate. He got praying to do. So, Mother Valerie, will you lead us in prayer this morning as we get ready to go forth? Mother Valerie?
Father God, good morning, people of God.
Father God, in Jesus' name, we want to thank and praise you for who you are. We want to thank you and praise you for doing it again. You woke us up again, and we thank you. We praise you. God, your word is blessed. And bless Pastor Bridget and myself as we read your word. Thank you, Jesus. We praise your holy name. Thank you for waking us up another day. You did it again. You gave us a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful sunrise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. And we just want the Lord to increase as we decrease, Mother, to give us that extra, to take control, because we can't do this by ourselves. We need him. We need him. And, you know, I just can't help it enough to just say thank you. And I know we got a lot to do, so I'm going to turn it over this morning. We are coming out of Numbers chapter 23 through chapter 24, verse 25. We will also be coming out of our Psalms this morning. And our Psalm today is the 33rd Psalm, verses 18 through 22, Proverbs 11, verse 27. And I'll be coming out of Mark chapter 13, also verse 1 through 20. So we got a lot of word. And Mother, I know we do have a life principle this morning as well. So we have quite a bit. And if you need me to read the life principle, just ask me and I will take it for you if you don't want to do that. But Mother Valerie, take us to the throne. In the word of God.
Amen. I'm coming out of Numbers 23:1-25. Then Balaam said to Balak, build 7 altars for me here and prepare for me 7 bulls and 7 rams. Balak did just as Balaam had spoken. And Balaam offered a bull and a ram on each altar. Then Balaam said to Balak, stand by your burnt offering, and I'll go. Perhaps the Lord will come to meet me, and whatever he shows me, I'll tell you. So he went to a desolate height. God met Balaam, and he said to him, I have prepared the 7 altars, and I have offered on each altar a bull and a ram. Then the Lord put a word in Balaam's mouth and said, return to Balak. And thus you shall speak. So he returned to him, and there he was standing by his burnt offering, he and all the princes of Moab. He took up his oracle and said, Balak, the king of Moab, have brought me from Aram, from the mountains of the east. Come, curse Jacob for me, and come, denounce Israel. How shall I curse whom God has not cursed? And how shall I denounce whom the Lord has not denounced? For from the top of the rock I see him, and from the hills I behold him. There, a people dwelling alone, not reckoned itself among the nations. Who can count the dust of Jacob, or number 1/4 of Israel? Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my end be like his. You can't curse what God has blessed. And
amen.
You can't bless something that God has not blessed.
Preach.
So that's what Balak wanted Balaam to do. You can't do that. Who can count the dust of Jacob or number 1/4 of Israel? Let me die the death of righteous and let my end be like his. Then Balak said to Balaam, what have you done to me? I took you to curse my enemies, and look, you have blessed them bountifully. So he answered and said, must I not take heed to speak what the Lord has put in my mouth? Then Balak said to him, please come with me to another place from which you may see them. You shall see only the outer part of them and shall not see them all. Curse them for me from there. So he brought him to the field of Zophim, to the top of Pegah, and did 7 altars, offered a bull and a ram on each altar. And he said,
to Balak, stand here by your burnt offering, while I meet the Lord over there. Then the Lord met Balaam and put a word in his mouth and said, go back to Balak, and thus you shall speak. Came to him, and there he was, standing by his burnt offering. And the prince of Moab was with him. And Balak said to him, what has the Lord spoken? Then he took up his article and said, rise up, Balak, and hear. Listen to me, son of Zippor. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? Behold, I have received a command to bless. He has blessed, and I cannot reverse it. That's right. You cannot reverse anything that God has blessed. And if God said that they are blessed, they will be blessed. That's all there is to it. He has not observed iniquity in Jacob, nor has he seen wickedness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. God brings them out of Egypt. He has strength like a wild ox. For there is no sorcery among Jacob, nor any divination against Israel. It now must be said of Jacob and of Israel, oh, what God has done. Look, a people rises like a lioness and lifts itself up like a lion. It shall not lie down until it devours the prey and drinks the blood of the slain. Then Balak said to Balaam, neither curse them at all, nor bless them at all. So Balaam answered and said to Balak, did I not tell you, saying, all that the Lord speak, that I must do? Then Balak said to Balaam, please come, I'll take you to another place. Perhaps it would please God that you may curse them for me from there. So Balak took Balaam to the top of Peor that overlooks the wasteland. Then Balaam said to Balak, build for me here 7 altars and prepare for me here 7 bulls and 7 rams. And Balak did as Balaam had said, and offer a bull and a ram on every altar. I mean, he keeps taking him to different places, thinking that God would maybe curse Jacob. God is not going to do it. I mean, if God has blessed his people, they are blessed. Now when Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel, he did not go as the other times to seek or use sorcery, but he set his face toward the wilderness. And Balaam raised his eyes and saw Israel in camp according to their tribes, and the Spirit of God came upon him. Then he took up his article and said, the utterance of Balaam, the son of Beor, the utterance of the man whose eyes are open, the utterance of him who hears the words of God, who sees the vision of the Almighty, who falls down with eyes wide open. How lovely are your tents, O Jacob, your dwelling, O Israel, like valleys that stretch out, like gardens by the riverside, like aloes planted by the Lord, like cedars beside the waters. He shall pour water from his bucket, and his seed shall be in many waters. His king shall be higher than Agag, and his kingdom shall be exalted. God brings them out of Egypt. He has strength like a wild ox. He shall consume the nations, his enemies. He shall break their bones, pierce them with his arrows. He bows down, he lies down as a lion, and as a lion who shall roust him. Blessed is he who blesses you, and cursed is he who curses you. Then Balak's anger was aroused against Balaam, and he struck his hands together. And Balak said to Balaam, I call you to curse my enemies, and look, you have bountifully blessed him these 3 times. Now, therefore, flee to your place. I said I would greatly honor you, but in fact, the Lord has kept you back from honor. So Balaam said to Balak, did I not also speak to your messengers whom you sent to me, saying, if Balak were to give me his house full of silver and gold, I could not go beyond the word of the Lord to do good or bad of my own will. What the Lord says, that I must speak. And now, indeed, I am going to my people. Come, I will advise you what this people will do to your people in the latter days. He took up his oracle and said, the utterance of Balaam, the son of Beor, and the utterance of the man whose eyes are open, the utterance of him who hears the words of God, has knowledge of the Most High, who sees the vision of the Almighty, who falls down with eyes wide open. I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star should come out of Jacob, a scepter should rise out of Israel, and batter the brow of Moab, and destroy all the sons of turmoil, and Edom shall be a possession. There also his enemies shall be a possession. While Israel does valiantly out of Jacob, one shall have dominion and destroy the remains of the city. Then he looked on Amalek, took up his articles, and said, Amalek was first among the nations, but shall be last until he perishes. Then he looked on the Kenites, and he took up his article and said, firm is your dwelling place, and your nest is set in the rock. Nevertheless, Cain shall be burned. How long until Asher carries you away captive? And he took up his article and said, alas, who shall live when God does this? But ships shall come from the coast of Cyprus, and they shall afflict Asher and afflict Eba. And so shall Amalek until he perish. But so Balaam arose and departed, returned to his place. Balak also went his way. You cannot curse what God has blessed. I mean, that's impossible to even think that you can curse what God has blessed. Life's lesson, Numbers 24:14. I will advise you what this people will do to your people in the latter days. Balaam not only advised Balak what Israel would do to his nation in the latter days. Apparently, he also advised him how to get Israel to sin and so lose the favor of God. See Numbers 31 and 16, Revelation 3 and 14. That was some silly stuff that was going on. How can you curse anything that God has?
Mm-mm.
God,
it
has
can't had. Happen, Mother.
It cannot happen. I'm going to turn this over to the pastor, Bridget, and let her read Numbers 23 and 19.
Hallelujah. And it's a life principle from Dr. Stanley. And it says, God's word is an immovable anchor in times of storm. God's word, not my word, not mother's word, but God's word. It says the words of King Darius echoed through Daniel's mind as servants lured him into the lion's den. Your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you, Daniel 6. And 16. Workers then laid a heavy stone over the opening to the underground chamber. Even after assessing his dire situation, Daniel did not waver in his faith. The next morning, King Darius found Daniel untouched. Untouched. Can I say that? Let's say it one more time. Untouched. And proclaiming, O King, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth so that they have not hurt me. And that's from Daniel chapter 6, verses 21 and 22. It says, how did Daniel survive? Were the lions not hungry? Historians tell us animals used for such planned executions went unfed for days in an effort to ensure the death of the accused. But Daniel's fate was never in the hands of men. His life belonged to God. And therein lies the victory.
Daniel survived by placing his trust in God and his faith in God's promises. Again, mother, he who endures to the end shall be saved. And it says,
amen.
Each of us can remember times when we wished we had a sure word from God, something we could cling to when doubt and fear arose. God knows when we need encouragement, guidance, and hope. This is why he provides specific promises in his word that we might understand his nature and trust him. In emotionally devastating times, God's promises are essential to our spiritual warfare. Again, the battle we fight is with the word of God. That's how we fight our battle. God's word is therefore a compass, a guide, an instruction book to life. Come on now. It's a way to go. It tells you how to get there, and it gives you instructions on what to do when you get there. Just as we use instruction manuals at work or in the kitchen, we are to use God's word as our resource for wisdom and truth. No one should think of baking a cake without a recipe, nor would a mechanic rebuild a car engine without a manual. Some of God's promises are conditional, but we stand in faith on the vast majority of them. It's not a matter of naming and claiming a promise. However, promises should be coupled with prayer. Mother, did you catch that?
Amen.
Coupled with prayer and
amen.
Earnestness to know God's will for our lives. While God wants each of us to experience his best, he also wants us to know and enjoy his presence in a personal way that best expresses his sufficiency. Claiming a promise without leadership from his Holy Spirit will lead to disappointment, disillusionment, and frustration. We wonder why folks get frustrated in ministry, why they get all upset, because they're not going to God. They're taking it to the phone and not to the throne and wonder why things are not working the way they want it to work. We got to go to God. We got to go to this instruction book that we call a Bible, the basic instruction before leaving earth. That's what we have to go to, and we have to go to it every day. The word of God tells us, meditate on it day and night. It says at times God brings a specific scripture to mind that ministers his hope and reassurance to our hearts. At other times, he challenges us to pray and seek his wisdom on a certain issue. When King David sought God's heart regarding his desire to build a temple, the Bible says that King David went in and sat before the Lord. 2 Samuel 7 and 18. David didn't order his men to begin construction. He waited for God's leadership, and it was a good thing he did because God wanted David's son Solomon to do the job instead. You know, at our church, you know, you may be over a program, but you can't go forward until it is approved by our pastor because she is the one that is in charge of everything. So when you get your program ready, you go before the pastor. She reviews it. She may make some changes, and then you go for it. But you go first to get it approved, just like we have to go to God to get it approved. She goes to God to get everything she does approved because God is in charge of everything. You think about it. We are having some work done on our church, and our pastor is at the house of God every day since the work started at 6:30 a.m. 6:30 a.m. How many folks want to get out of bed at 6:30 a.m.? Nevertheless, be someplace at 6:30 a.m. I tell you, it is hard work. And then as we go into our word, it says, this God honored David's attitude, however, and gave him a wonderful promise Your house and your kingdom shall be established forever before you. Your throne shall be established forever. 2 Samuel 7:16. God always honors our desire to seek his guidance and wisdom. If we will come to God expecting him to answer, he will never disappoint us. And Daniel said, God through visions, dreams, and sometimes audibly. Today he speaks primarily through his words, since he never wants us involved in anything that contradicts scripture. And every verse can be taken out of context, come on now, and twisted. But if we are true to God's word and interpret scripture within its context, then we will find God's promises rewarding. Mother, you hear me say that all the time. Is it in context? We got to make sure we read it above it and beyond it to make sure that whatever it is that we are reading it in context. Whatever our title, the title is in context. And, you know, in this word this morning, Balaam was trying his best to do what Balak asked him to do, but he couldn't go against God. Could not do it. Couldn't do it. Tried. Couldn't do it. And everything that they tried to do to Israel, God did it in. And as we go into his words, again, it says, Dr. Stanley says, when we look to God in faith, come on now, he will lead us according to his will. As the Lord's Prayer tells us, your will be done according to his will. Of course, this may not happen overnight. Many times God wants us to meditate on a certain scripture over a period of time before he gives his guidance. Instead of being emotionally blown one way and then another, there's that lukewarm, we learn to stand firm in our commitment and trust in Christ. Consider God's promises your spiritual anchor. Once we learn to follow him, pursue his lead, wherever he goes, God never fails to keep a promise. He wants us to get in his word and listen for his voice. This is where our responsibility comes in. God gives promises, but we must be willing to patiently wait for him to fulfill them. Never try putting God in a time box. Bam. Woo! Mama, that's a word right there. Never try putting God in a time box. We can't put God in a box because he's going to bust out every time. And it said instead, leave room for him to bring everything together according to his plan and his timing. You'll be glad you did. Ooh, what a word in that life principle this morning. God's word, not ours. You know, and then it goes on to tell us in your word, Mother. So Balaam rose and departed and returned to his faith. Balak also went his way. You can't change what God's going to do. Just go on and go home. Because God's way is the right way, and it's the only way. And as we go to our psalm this morning, and for those that are just joining us, this is Blog Talk Radio. This is Moving Forward with Minister Bridget and now Mother Valerie. And we thank you for joining us this morning. We broadcast every day, not every day. We have one rest day, and that is Saturday. But we broadcast Sunday through Friday, 7 a.m. Central Standard Time. Our call-in number is 213-943-3597. If you would like to speak, all you have to do is push that number one. We also are come over X, Twitter, as well as on Facebook. So thank you so much for joining us this morning as we move forward in the Word of God. And the Word of God says in Psalm chapter 33, verse 18 through 22, behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our hearts shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. Let your mercy, O Lord, be upon us. Let as we hope in you. And again, our word is, he who endures to the end shall be saved. And what does our word say in verse 20? Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our hearts shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. Let your mercy, O Lord, be upon us just as we hope in you. Proverbs 11:27. He who earnestly seeks good finds favor, but trouble will come to him who seeks evil. There it is. We wonder why folks is going through. Because when you seek evil, it's going to come back on you. When you go out talking some stuff, when you do things that are detrimental or cause loss of life, understand, it's going to come back. I know that there are those that call it karma. I don't believe in karma, but I do believe in God. And I believe that what goes around comes around. That what you put out, it will come back. If you put out love, love will come back. If you put out joy, joy will come back. If you put out hope, hope will come back. But if you put out and spew evil, it's going to come right back on you. If you make fun of people, it's going to come back on you. Whatever you do to the least among God's people, it will come back to you. We got to understand that everything has an action. Every action has a reaction. There it is. We got to have it. We got to know it. Every action has a reaction. And as we go into our word again in Mark chapter 13, which is where our title is coming from this morning, it says, then as he went out of the temple. And we know Jesus done clean out and told him, my father's house shall be a house of prayer, not a den of thieves. And you know, they hot. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the sellers of doves and lambs and rams and everything else, you know, they mad because this little upstart rabbi has come in and upset the course of business that they were doing in the house of God. And yes, some of it was Caesar. And we also know that when the offering came, this little widow with her two little mites, like I love, 1/8 of a penny, you know, came in and gave her last into the coffers of God. What a word today. It says, then as he went out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, teacher, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here. And Jesus answered and said to him, do you see these great buildings? Not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down. Now as he sat on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign when all these things will be fulfilled? And Jesus answering them began to say, take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am he, and will deceive many. But when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be troubled, for such things must happen. But the end is not yet. But nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be earthquakes in various places, and there will be famines and troubles. These are the beginnings of sorrow. And mother, as I watch the news and see things, I wonder in my heart, are we at the beginning of sorrow? We see wars. We see just whole nations almost destroyed because somebody didn't like somebody and somebody did this. So instead of going after the somebody that did it, We go after everybody else. You know, it's just nuts. And it just breaks your heart when you see children dying in streets because of grown folk wars. Because grown men don't know how to get along. And so they just decide to kill, steal, and destroy. It breaks you down. And when I read this, I thought, Lord, are we going through this now? You know, do we need to get our jump ready? Because it could happen any day, but I know it's not, because there's a whole lot that has to go forth before the rapture jump month. And it's, that's why we need the word of God ourselves. You know, we don't let somebody stand in the pulpit and out of context tell us when the rapture's going to happen. There's a whole lot of things that have to go first. And as Jesus said, but watch out for yourself, for they will deliver you up to councils, and you will be beaten in the synagogues. You will be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony to them. But instead of taking you out, they taking you out in the church. How many times, Mother, recently have we heard of some pastor or some church being attacked? Pastor Osteen's church in Texas.
Amen.
Pastor Sharp's church in Chicago. You know, come on now. And we all know about Emmanuel Temple some years ago when Dylan Roof came in and killed 9 people.
Amen.
We've got to understand that the enemy is busy, but God is in charge. And he can't do more than what God allows. But I tell you, it's a sad situation when a pastor has to have a bodyguard because they're being threatened, not because of the sermon they preach, but just because they're a man or woman of God. We got some praying to do. And how do we do it? We do it on our knees. We take it to the throne. And then he tells us, and the gospel must first be preached to all the nations. And that's what we're doing. With this little bitty show on Blog Talk Radio, we are preaching the word of God, the gospel, to all nations. But understand, Mother, but when they arrest you and deliver you up, do not worry beforehand or premeditate what you will speak, but whatever is given to you in that hour, speak that. But it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. Now, brother will betray brother to death, and father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But he who endures, that's our word today, he who endures to the end shall be saved. Mother, we got to endure to the end. Whatever happens, happens. But we have to endure to the end. And then it says this. So when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel, the prophet, standing where it ought not, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go down into the house, nor enter to take anything out of his house. Mother, what do we talk about all the time? You can't take nothing with you. You
Amen.
Can't take anything with you. You got to get up. You got to go. And you can't take anything with you. All you can take is you. And it says, and besides that, we're going to have a new body anyway. So your clothes are not going to fit. And it goes on to tell us, and let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. And pray that your flight may not be in winter. But in those days there will be tribulation such as has not been since the beginning of the creation, which God created until this time, nor ever shall be. And unless the Lord has shortened those days, no flesh would be saved. But
Amen.
For the elect's sake, when he chooses,
He, whom he chose, he shortened the day. Wow, Mother. It's no joke. And as we go back to a couple of life lessons from chapter 13, it says this, not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down. We know that the stones used to build Herod's temple were immense and appeared impenetrable, which is why the people were shocked when Jesus said it would be destroyed. However, we also know that Jesus' prophecy came true in AD 70 when Titus's Roman armies destroyed the temple. Remember, no matter how large the obstacle, God's word always remains true.
Amen.
Everything Jesus said would happen in Jerusalem happened in Jerusalem. Everything. No planning. The Romans destroyed some things, tore it up. Jerusalem has been through so much. We are talking the Crusades and the Knights Templar. We're talking Rome, and we're talking Egypt. We're talking every nation, seems like, has gone after Jerusalem, which is why the Arabs went after it, and that's why we have the Dome of the Rock. Because the Arabs came and occupied. Then the Catholics came and occupied with the Templars and the Knights and England and everybody fighting. You know, it's just been one battleground after another. And as we know, it's fighting now. You know, my one thing I wanted on my bucket list big time was to go to Israel. Go to Jerusalem to walk the streets that Jesus walked. And now you can't go because of, again, man's war. God don't have anything to do with this mess. Man's war. Because you have bigotry and hatred going on.
My Lord.
And it's sad to see babies dying because of grown folk fights. You know, my feeling is that leaders need to just get in the ring and hash it out between the two of them. And whoever wins, wins. You know, but I know there are some leaders that are stronger than others. But still, it just makes you sick when you see the aftermath of war. And most of the time, the biggest casualties are children. And that is our future. You kill children. You have no future. And then as we go to Mark 13 and 13, you will be hated by all for my name's sake. There are folks that hate us just because they know we are Christians. They know we love Jesus. They know we have accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And they hate us for it. And it says this, millions of people have died throughout history for their faith in Jesus. In fact, the intensity of persecution in modern times, and more believers will die this year than did in the early church. We must be willing to suffer abuse for our connection to Christ because eternity is more important than our present suffering. Romans 8 and 18, 2 Corinthians 4, 17 through 18. We got to understand, yes, we will go through it for the sake of our Lord and Savior. But understand, in the end, we win. Praise the Lord. In the end, we win. And so, Mother Valerie, we are finished early this morning, and I have a word from my sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, and it's this. Good morning. Don't let the cares of the world take you away from trusting in God. When you walk away from God, you walk straight into misery and despair. Choose to trust God. Have a wonderful Wednesday. And again, but he who endures to the end
shall be saved. Why? Because they trust God. And that's what we must do. We must trust God and know that all things work for our good because we trust in the Lord. So thank God this morning. Mother, we are done a little early today, but it's all right. We did what we were supposed to do. We did our
Amen. Time.
If there's anything that you have that needs to be said, now is the time. But if you don't have anything, family, we love you. We thank you for joining us, especially those on Facebook and on Twitter X. We thank you. Have a blessed and wonderful day. And remember, as Sister Carolyn said, don't let the cares of the world take you away from trusting in God. When you walk away from God, you walk straight into misery and despair. Choose to trust God. Have a wonderful Wednesday, and may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent, one from each other. In Jesus' name, we pray over you and your family. Have a blessed and wonderful day. For this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. As the psalmist said, thank you so much and be blessed. Mother Valerie, do you have anything?
You know, what I was thinking, that you, Balaam, knew that he couldn't curse something that God had blessed. And then Balak finally understood, when God blessed something, it will be blessed.
That's it.
I mean, that was just amazing to me. That he wanted Balaam to curse what God had blessed.
Can't
it
do
won't
it.
Ever happen.
It won't happen. So true. Wow, what a word. You had a great word today. And for
you
those that just like to go ahead of us, we will be tomorrow, God willing, in Numbers chapter 25 through 26 and 65. And I'll be coming out of the Old Testament on tomorrow, and Mother Valerie will be back with you in our psalm, which is the 34th psalm, verses 1 through 7, in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 28, and Mark chapter 13, finishing us out, no, not quite, with verses 21 through 37. Mark chapter 13 is long. It's a nice long chapter. And Mother will finish it out on tomorrow. So thank you so much. Thank you a lot. We appreciate you. And God willing, we'll be on tomorrow. And it is, Mother, it's my birthday. I'm grateful and thankful and blessed. Praying that God will get me through another day that I will be able to see a birthday on tomorrow, and to wish my baby son, he's not a baby anymore, he's a very grown old man, happy
Amen.
Birthday as well. But I try to keep him a baby so I can stay young. But we know that don't work all the time. I'm grateful that God has blessed me to today. I'm grateful and pray that God will bless me to tomorrow. Thank you so much, family. I got a little person to get dressed to take him to school. So thank you so much. Be blessed and have a great, great day. Mother Valerie, what is it?
It's a wrap.
Thank
a
you,
wrap.
Rita. It's a wrap. We love
it's
you, Mother
wrap.
Rita. God bless you, Angel. It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.